Welcome back into Sports Talk. Let me remind you, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely for free. Listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so we make it easy for you to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for this show and any of the shows here on WWL that you love. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or tell your smart speaker, hey, play WWL. Right now, back here on Sports Talk, getting into our SEC Media Days Sound Bank. First up for everybody, actually, was Commissioner Greg Sankey. But after that, LSU head coach Brian Kelly, the Tigers' back-to-back 10-win seasons. What's on the horizon for the Bayou Bengals this year? Well, let's hear from the boss, Brian Kelly, at SEC Media Days this morning.
Coach Jaden had such a sensational LSU career. Moving on to the next step without him, you know, what has this offseason been like getting the offense ready for the season?
Well, I think we feel really good about the transition to Garrett Nussmeier. He's been with us. He knows the offense. He knows the structure. He's been immersed in everything that we've done since we've got here. He's been patient, but persistent. So when you're handing off to a quarterback that you have felt all along could lead you to a championship as well, it's probably as comforting as you could be as a head coach when you lose your Heisman Trophy winner, unless you get him back, in turning the keys over to Garrett Nussmeier.
You've had an incredible amount of success in year three in your past stops. Are there any similarities that you, looking back, that made those teams so successful in year three?
Well, each stop along the way has really the same process in terms of how I've gone about building the program. So this is the most accountable team that I've had. This has got the best leadership that I've had here at LSU. And not because they're better kids, it's just that they've been at this process now for 3 years. There's trust within the ranks. They're trusting each other. They're trusting the coaching. They're trusting what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So that has generally led to success on the field. Now, all those teams in year three have caught the ball, tackled the football, played their best when their best is needed. You know, all those things we haven't done yet. But the similarities are what I've just laid out, is they've been the most accountable, they've been the most trusting, they've had the best leadership, and this team does as well.
I know it's before the season, but does this team have some of the characteristics of those other teams?
It does.
In year three?
Yeah, it does. And I guess that's what I was saying, is that this team does, because we're able to see that on a day-to-day basis, even in the offseason, because we track all that. So we clearly can see that this football team is on that same track.
Coach, you know, spoken on defense just a little bit ago, PJ Woodland, one of your new talents, how has he impressed you, and really what made him so attractive coming out of Oak Grove High School?
I think there's a couple of things. I mean, look, to play corner, you have to have, in my opinion, you have to have three things. One, you got to be able to play the ball down the field. There are many guys that, you know, can be in man coverage, but the ball's in the air and they can't find it. The second thing is you got to be able to tackle. And he's a ferocious tackler. He loves to tackle the football. And finally, you got to play some man-to-man coverage. You got to be able to play on body, and you got to play man. And he could do those three things. Now, he was 157 pounds when we got him on campus, 159 pounds. So the physicality and getting stronger and all those things and the rigors of playing in the SEC, you got to be able to duplicate that week in and week out. So this is going to happen for him. It's just going to take a little time as his body physically develops. And when he physically develops, he's going to be a really good football player.
In the big room, you were talking about playing a game in Ireland. I know you've got some games with Clemson coming up, right? So when do you think that would fit? Do you have any idea what year, and any idea on who you'd like to play in a game like that?
Look, I would think anything that happens, you know, relative to a international game, we'll have to make some adjustments in the schedule. And there'll have to be parties that will agree to some movement on the schedule. So I'm not here to say that this is a done deal, but you're going to have to get a situation where if it's a non-conference opponent, that they're willing to move that game later to accommodate a game that if we wanted to play in Ireland. So there would be more than one party involved if that was to be put together.
Coach, last season you kicked off the season with against Florida State, which resulted in a loss. What is the game plan going into your first game of the season to ensure you come out with the win?
Sure. Well, if I knew I could ensure a win, I probably would do it. We're not going to change our preseason ritual or program or, you know, how we do things. I really like what we do. I think it's smart. I think it's safe. I think it takes into account the proper rest. So our football. Look, if I felt like when we played Florida State, we were lethargic or tired, or our legs looked like we were in mud, jumping offside, or you know things like that, then I would make adjustments. We didn't play well enough against Florida State, and that was year two. And so what happened in that game is it exposed what was a real weakness for us, and what appeared to be, which was a weakness, was our defense. So we're going to continue to prepare the same way for USC, but we've addressed what I thought was our weakness in the offseason, and we're building towards having that weakness supported going into the USC game.
Coach, scheduling USC and UCLA in the same year, I think Notre Dame did it, but I don't know of any other team. And what do you see from the three players? What do you want to see different from them that haven't displayed thus far, Garrett and Mason and Harold?
I think if we start with Mason, you know, he's here because I think he's been overshadowed. You know, we had three first-round draft picks, and he, I don't believe, got the kind of notoriety that he really deserves. So I don't know that there's a lot, but I think he's going to be a focus of our offense. And so I think you'll be able to see his ability to inline block, his ability to be spread out and catch the football and really make an impact within our offense. So I don't know that there's more he can do. He's been a great leader for us off the field. Harold Perkins is going to be in a role that allows him to play from tackle to tackle, which he did not play in the box for us. He played outside the box for us last year. He played on the edge of our defense. So you had a choice to run away from him. You had a choice to scheme him. He's going to play in the middle of our defense. And then we'll be able to move him around in situational times. Third down, you know, we can move him around. So I think we're going to ask him to do that, and I think he feels really good about that. Garrett Nussmeier is going to be our starting quarterback. So he's going to go from holding a clipboard to, you know, being the guy. And I'm really excited about that. So, and he's been a great leader for us. He's been truly somebody that has held everybody accountable.
Do you feel like you're being overlooked this year?
I don't know that from my perspective that I spend much time thinking about expectations, being overlooked, underlooked. I focus really, and this is all I've done, is how we stick to what we do, our process every single day. And if we're doing that, then the outcomes take care of themselves. And I really don't worry about those other things because I can't control them anyway. So there's so many good football teams. I mean, it's the SEC. I mean, you could say there's, you know, eight teams, nine teams, 10 teams that all can compete for this championship. And you could make that argument. So I don't waste my time with that. I focus strictly on our process.
That was LSU head coach Brian Kelly over at SEC Media Days in Texas this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens if the SEC decides to take Media Days on the road around the Southeastern Conference, which would make a ton of sense, obviously. But, man, oh, man, these Tigers don't have an easy schedule this year, Charlie. You look at games non-conference, USC, UCLA. They've got home games against Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma. And then they got to be on the road against Florida and Texas A&M. Tough slate for these Tigers.
Yeah, they need a solid start. Like, I mean, that's...
It's been a while since we had a solid start.
I know. Beating USC and Vegas is such a key for this team. If they're going to reach their aspirations of being in the first 12-team college football playoff, Steve, there's a couple things I took away from that presser with Brian Kelly. Obviously, the leadership and accountability that he preached throughout that basically 8-minute clip that we just played, but also the players that were there, right, with Harold Perkins and Garrett Nussmeier and Mason Taylor. And we can go kind of step by step here, right? Coach Kelly, I think, said earlier in the offseason that, you know, as far as a new offensive system with Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton kind of running things as co-OCs, Mason Taylor, he said, is one of the best football players on the entire roster. And obviously, he had some injury issues this past year, but at the same time, if you're looking at the projection as far as the receiving weapons for Garrett Nussmeier's offense, like, Mason Taylor's right up there. Kyron Lacy's obviously wide receiver one, but as far as Mason Taylor's role catching the ball as tight end one, I think you're going to see a ton of it this year. And also, with Garrett Nussmeier, as he said, he'd been holding the clipboard for a couple of years. Now he's ready to go, and they're confident about that transition, and it's going to look different. We've been talking about this for months now. As soon as Jaden Daniels went to the draft and handed off the baton, so to speak, to Garrett Nussmeier, once he decided that he was staying, he was patient, he waited his turn. Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier are vastly different quarterbacks. Now, I still think that Jaden is, at his heart, a pocket passer, similar to Garrett Nussmeier, but he also had the 1,000 yards rushing this past year in his Heisman campaign. Not going to have that, not anywhere close to that. But at the same time, as far as leading an offense and being a veteran presence in that quarterback room, like, Garrett Nussmeier can do some things. And there's a reason that preseason projections have him as basically a top 10 Heisman candidate. So, you know, people have said, oh, he's a dark horse to win the Heisman. I think when you're top 10, I mean, you have high expectations for what you can accomplish this year. And when you're looking at the top teams in the SEC, and LSU's included with a 9.5 preseason win total, with some of those elite teams, Georgia and Texas are at 10.5, but you're looking at Alabama, you're looking at Missouri, you're looking at Ole Miss, you're looking at LSU, all of them at 9.5, all of them have veteran quarterbacks. Now, Garrett Nussmeier may not have the in-game experience that someone like Jackson Dart has, or, you know, Jalen Milroe, other pieces, Quinn Ewers, stuff like that. But the expectations for him leading this year's offense are still super high. And then Harold Perkins, who was the last one that he kind of mentioned as well, as far as the three players that were there, we'll hear all of them next hour or two.
Right.
But Harold Perkins is a really interesting one because I really want to see how he works with Blake Baker, the new DC for LSU. It's pieces, Steve, and they're major pieces of the puzzle for 2024. And as Coach Kelly said, like, the year three jump, a lot of it has to do with the leadership and accountability of these players. But now you got to go prove it on the field.
It's pretty surprising to me, Charlie, that with all of the pieces you have lost from this pretty amazing offense you had a year ago, there still seems to be a ton of confidence in what Nussmeier and the rest of the crew are going to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Nussmeier, he has, like, I don't want to say he's been there, done that, but he's been waiting for his turn. And you know that he's got the talent. And you saw it on display in the bowl game this past year against Wisconsin. He can sling it, Steve. And he showed it also at the Manning Passing Academy. Mike kind of raved about how he looked there, too. So, once again, the offense, you're not expecting that big of a drop-off. It's going to look a little bit different, but you're not expecting a huge drop-off from the production. You're not going to have the top offense in college football, but you're going to have a really, really strong offense. The question comes defensively, and Brian Kelly also kind of mentioned that as well. Like, the reason that they lost the first game, the reason that they had issues throughout the 2023 season was because of their defense. Now, that's still the biggest question mark is on the interior of the defensive line, Steve. But there are some kind of pieces that maybe they could be better. I think the coaching staff, the coaching hires that they made in the offseason, like Bo Davis and Blake Baker, they made some really good decisions to bring in good coaches. But do you have the horses to be able to compete with the top teams in the SEC defensively? And that's kind of where the question mark comes with this team. But offensively, with Garrett Nussmeier and Kyron Lacy and Mason Taylor, and the position that we haven't talked about enough, because we all know that it's going to be the strength of the team, the Great Wall of Baton Rouge right up front, the offensive line, where you basically have two tackle prospects that could be first-round picks in Emory Jones and Will Campbell. The offense isn't going to take that big of a step back, I don't think, Steve. It's going to be if the defense can make enough of an improvement to for them to take that next step.
Yeah, for me, I'm quite interested to see if this group of wide receivers can live up to what we had in Baton Rouge a year ago, plus the fact of where you're going to account for some of the running yardage, too, that you had with Jaden Daniels. Interested to see which running backs end up stepping up for this Bayou Bengals squad.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is 1,000 yards to replace from last year's offense just based off of Jaden Daniels alone. The wide receiver position's interesting. Kyron Lacy projects as that wide receiver one, as I mentioned. And who's going to be the other guys to step up? Apparently, they have some young guys that they're really, really confident in. C.J. Daniels is one name that keeps coming to my mind. The transfer from Liberty, that's kind of been under the radar. I'm interested to see what type of an impact he has, if he can kind of come in and be like fantastic immediately, or if he kind of takes a little bit of time and doesn't have as much of an impact, kind of similar to someone like Aaron Anderson or something.